CBSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor, Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. It is Ramadan. It is Easter season. It is trouble in Israel, especially Temple Mount. I read, renewed terrorist attacks against Israelis over the past few days, this is dated April 1st, have highlighted the seriousness of the security situation in the lead up to Ramadan now here, Passover and Easter. None of these attacks was perpetrated by residents of Jerusalem. Tensions in the city have always held particular potential to escalate and spread. And then a recitation of the attacks, especially in and around Temple Mount at holiday time. I welcome Gaith Al-Omari. Gaith is at the Washington Institute, the Irwin Levy Family Program on the U.S.-Israel Strategic Relationship. Gaith, what is driving these fresh incidents? It feels like back to the future. Has something happened in the Palestinian Authority? Do they need money? Good evening to you, Gaith.
Hi, good evening, John, Malcolm. Actually, this time, these are not directed or linked to the Palestinian Authority. You see, two of the attacks were actually by Israeli Arabs, claimed by ISIS. This is not very clear if ISIS is behind it. One was from the West Bank. The problem is, today you have really almost like a political and security vacuum in the West Bank. The Palestinian Authority is so weak that it is unable sometimes to prevent some of these kinds of attacks. Now, add to this, within the Fatah movement, that's the party that controls the Palestinian Authority, there are elements that continue to agitate. Abbas himself came out denouncing or condemning one of these attacks, but it was a weak condemnation. So you have all of these factors kind of pushing and arguing towards escalation. Add to it an economic crisis, add to it some Israeli provocations, particularly increased settler violence. So we see a tinderbox. We see an explosive mixture.
Malcolm?
What has the PA done to anticipate, knowing that this period was coming, it's the annual Ramadan, and especially this year with the confluence with Passover and Easter, has the security cooperation deepened? Is it maintained the same? Can these prevented attacks, I know there were 10 or 15 prevented attacks just in the last weeks, will this help stem the violence?
But first of all, every conversation I had with Israeli, Palestinian, and Jordanian security folks over the last 2 months always focused on April because of the reasons we all anticipated it. So we saw preparation. To be honest, I mean, we saw the Palestinian Authority doing a lot of work itself. Last May, the Palestinian, May of last year, the Palestinian Authority was not very vigorous in pursuing Hamas. This year, it was very different. They were pushing very hard. Security cooperation has really intensified. And here, the U.S. has come into the game again. Under President Trump, the U.S. was not really involved. They did not engage the Palestinians. Now, the U.S. is helping with the coordination. The Jordanians have been very active. The king was in Ramallah. Many Israeli leaders, including the defense minister, went to Jordan. There is a lot of preparation. So the PA is preparing, but again, its ability to completely stem all of that is weakened because its moral authority among its public is weakened. So we see vigorous security action, but we don't see the political ability to basically convince the public to step back from this.
How would you characterize this violence? Because you've said it is not directly linked to the Palestinians. Who does it suit? Who benefits?
Look, I mean, without actually going to the actual attacks, because we don't know enough about the attacks, particularly the ones claimed by ISIS. But in general, there are many actors who are interested in escalation. First and foremost is Hamas. For Hamas, as far as Hamas is concerned, I don't think they want a war in Gaza. They paid a very heavy price if they want to pay it again, but they do want to have escalation in the West Bank. And so if you see, as Malcolm mentioned, there were 15 terror attacks that were thwarted. The majority of these were directed by Hamas. That's one. Two, you do see, ISIS and company agitating. We see a lot of the messaging coming, agitating the public. We see some of actually the U.S. allies are agitating. If you look at the Qatari media, for example, Al Jazeera in particular, there was tremendous praise for these attacks and calling on people to do more. If you look at the Islamic movement in Israel, the northern branch, they are pushing for agitation, particularly in Jerusalem. And within Fatah itself, there are elements within Fatah who are interested in an escalation because, you know, that's how they want to assert their presence. So you have many parties which are pushing for it. You have a Palestinian Authority that's doing security work, but unable to do the right kind of messaging.
Malcolm?
How do you see the role? How do you see the role of Jordan? We saw the meeting between King Abdullah in Ramallah with President Abbas during the Negev summit. Was he there to remind everyone about the Palestinian issue, or was he there to reinforce Abbas? And his new activism, meeting Benny Gantz and President Herzog, et cetera.
I mean, first of all, I would characterize the visit to Ramallah as a bear hug. The king went ostensibly to show support to Abbas and the Palestinian Authority, but the message he was delivering, as I heard from Jordanian officials at least, was a message of restraint, meaning, Mr. Abbas, you know, I support you, but do not escalate rhetorically or practically on the ground. And this is a role that Jordan is very well equipped to do because Jordan has very special leverage when it comes to the Palestinians. You know, Jordan wasn't in the Negev summit because my understanding is that, you know, the king's visit to Ramallah preceded the planning of the summit, and the Jordanians did not want to be the visit to be overshadowed by the summit, so they stayed away from it. With Israel, look, as you know, Jordan-Israel relations have always been very close, especially on security. They did take a hit during the time of Benjamin Netanyahu when he was prime minister. The king's relation with Bibi is extremely toxic. There is no trust there. Now with a new Israeli government, even though, you know, the prime minister is, you know, from the right flank of Israeli politics, but he is one that the Jordanians feel they have, they can trust. Even when they disagree with him, they can trust. So Jordan is playing a more active role. It is no coincidence that the first public meeting that the king had was with Benny Gantz, the defense minister, because Jordan is to remind people that Jordan-Israel military relations underpin everything. But what we're seeing now is the Israelis have agreed to allow Jordan to play, again, an active role on the Temple Mount, Haram Sharif, through Jordanian religious authorities. So Jordan is, again, playing the very constructive role that it has traditionally played. And I think, you know, the crisis that we had in Jordan-Israel relation under Bibi quickly got fixed because the nature of the relation is strategic and it's of interest to both Jordan and Israel.
Gaith, we have just a couple of minutes, so I'll be quick. You write that the relations between Jordan and Jerusalem under Netanyahu were not the only poor relations. Also with Washington, the previous president, has the new administration strengthened the tie between Jordan and the U.S.?
Absolutely. I mean, it is no coincidence that the first Arab leader to visit Washington under Biden was King Abdullah of Jordan. And I have to, though, point out here that the Jordan-U.S. relation is not a partisan thing. It's not Republicans or Democrats. You know, the king had very good relations with George W. Bush, etc. But with the Trump administration, there was a sense that they did not appreciate Jordan's importance for U.S. policy. And when it came to the American peace plan, Palestinian-Israeli peace plan, Jordan felt some of its equities were not taken into account. Jordan maintained a good relations with Congress during that period. But with the Biden administration, we saw Jordan, frankly, feeling that its American flank is secure, its Israeli flank is secure, and therefore can put more pressure on the Palestinians, and they feel more of a margin of maneuver.
Gaith El-Omari is a senior fellow in the Washington Institute's Irwin Levy Family Program on the U.S.-Israel Strategic Relationship. Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.